In Isaiah chapter 45, as we have been started just to refresh our mind about in the light of the book of Ecclesiastes, Isaiah chapter 45 may pick up the thought in verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, so there's no question, he hath established it, he created it, not in vain, for nothing. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. So there's one place in all of forever, and that's earth. Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28, earth. Genesis 1, 1, in the beginning, God. So there's one place in all of the great billions of galaxies, there's only one place that is inhabitable, and that's Earth. And God made it. God said right up front, there's only one place like it on planet Earth. Now, having said that, and in the light of trying to put something in the 6 o'clock time before the evening service, Steve Thorpe has a tape called The Privileged Planet, and I saw that late last night just to see what it was, and it is a secular, no question it's well done, and what it does is it comes to the grand conclusion by the experts, there's only one place in all of the universes like this. There's no other place in forever, as far as they know, that is like this place. Therefore, there has to be a purpose of why this place is so special. So it sort of fits with Ecclesiastes. Now, having said that, there's only one place. Psalm 115. And allow me to pick up the thought again, going over, if I can, to remember now, just going in verse 1, just to get a little context. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen, the nations, say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. God does what he does in a most marvelous way, and God does it. And the earth, humans, need to recognize God and honor God. If they don't recognize and honor God, then they have no explanation for planet Earth. They have no explanation for their life. It's meaningless, as you'll see. And what do we do in place of that? We can't afford to think realistically like that. If we leave God out, we can't afford to do that. So we then resort to something else, and that is religion. And thus you have in chapter Psalm 115, verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. The eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. They have noses, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Rather, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them. And remember, all idols, all religious activity is from the human heart, God tells us very clearly. Therefore, they, verse 8, that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. They're just like the people that made the system are no better than the system. The system can't see, talk, walk, smell, think, do anything. And neither can the people that make them. Where are they going to go? They're no better than their idols. Thus, God then says, you know, O Israel, trust in the Lord, for he is the help and shield. O house of Aaron, if the main body of people that are paying attention, Israel, to God, don't, then go to the people that are really dedicated to it, the priest. O house of Aaron, verse 10, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And if the house of Aaron doesn't, well, is there then any whosoever that does it? Verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, for he is their help and their shield. So, you know, God goes right down to the, is there anyone anywhere that would want to pay attention? The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them and that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, verse 16, in the light of that, the heavens are the heavens. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. God made them. Remember, God made earth, and then he made all of everything else. He just threw out billions of galaxies like that. And if we do that thing, you'll pick it up tonight, because this is the only place on planet anywhere that you could study the stars. Any other place in the galaxy, in the galaxy, you can't study the stars. This is the only little ring in the galaxy, the ring, with a little dot, that's Earth. This is the only place that has an opening. Remember, the galaxy is flat. This is the only place you can look up and down and see the universe. So science would be out of business. What would science do? Any other place. We wouldn't have any. And anyway, there's great little things like that. Now, verse 16, the heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So you want to understand, very simply, there's only one place in all of the universes that God has put humans. That's the only place he's done that. Remember, God put the earth, and then he put everything around it, and God did that. So that's your starting point. Now, having said that, back over, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 again. And let me just run through that to keep it clear and focus easy for you. Remember now, the issue is, what is the meaning of life? Is there any meaning, any good sense to the existence of a person? And God uses Solomon, who he prepared in his all-wise, all-knowing wisdom. He prepared him to be the person to help us on planet Earth with this question. And thus, in the process, here's a concerned people that are trying to really get to, why am I here? Who am I? Where am I going? What is the rhyme and reason of my existence? If anyone's like that, then Ecclesiastes will be a stimulus to get you right in the right track very quickly. And so the Ecclesiastes, what's it going to do? It's going to show the limitations, huge limitations of human philosophy. And I remember taking a class like that in UCLA out there, and in the process, the professor, very nice guy, and the only thing I remember about the class, philosophy, is a blind man looking for a black hat in a dark room, and the hat isn't there. How's that for an exercise? Did I do that all right? He's a good professor. You know, he taught you a lot. You know, I remember that. So it limits the world in which we live. We're going to tell us we're very limited in philosophy. We're very inadequate in human reasoning. Human ability to reason is very limited. Apart from God looking on earth, it's very limited. The transitoriness, the transientness of the human experience is repeated over and over again, and we don't seem to advance in it at all. the impossibility of finding abiding satisfaction in the physical universe, in space, in time, is you can't do it. It just isn't going to be there. The folly of self-centeredness is very clear. What are you going to say? God said, I'm going to go and make these very clear to you that none of these things will ever work apart from God. So here we are in Ecclesiastes. Remember the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. King Solomon is writing. And he tells you in the statement of fact, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all vanity of vanities. He repeats it again. All is vanity. It'd be like him swinging to the left. Vanity of vanities. Swings to the right. Vanity of vanities. Everything is vanity. Go. Everything is vanity. Vanity. Wow. Now, having said that, what do you mean vanity? Vanity means to breathe, to breathe, to breathe. It has to do with the breath, the transitory of breath. You breathe and it's gone. Where Isaiah 2 in the end of the chapter, where why would you trust in any human that their life is governed by their breathing? Why would you trust anyone that they're only as good as their next breath? That's all. Why would you trust them? Why would you do that? So, in the light of that, word vanity, vanity, worthlessness, that which passes away very quickly, transitory, nothingness. Nothingness comes to nothingness. And so when you put vanity and vanities, it's a superlative. It means the most vain thing, the most worthless way. It's the most worthless kind of thing if all we have on planet Earth, under the sun, verse 3 is the question. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Profit, advantage, what advantage is there? What on earth can we do in the light if we everything's under the sun, nothing is above the sun, it's all below the sun, and humans in their fallen nature, here they are on planet Earth, and if they don't look to God, here they are in this magnificent place, special, special, special place, and if they don't look to the God who made it, God said, I created heavens and the earth. If you don't understand why this is the place for you, you take advantage of it. If you don't, you're going to lose. And so here, the question, in the light of the fact, verse 1 and 2, what profit of the man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? What kind of advantage, what kind of lasting benefit, in the light of all the toil, in all the toils that we make. Solomon makes a wonderful confession of his fleshly existence. He says, listen, I want you to know I was here. This is what I thought. I went through all this. Ecclesiastes isn't what he's thinking, it's what he has been through. Because he's going to come, look at the end over Ecclesiastes 12 again. He's going to tell you where he's going to go with this. And you'll notice, please, in verse 10, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So he's a researcher, he's scientific, and he's right on the button. God enabled him to be so. Verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads, as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. They're made to wake you up, to prod you, to awaken you. Thus, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When you're all done, on planet Earth, you answer to God. The reason you're here is to answer to God. The reason you're here is to glorify God. Thus, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 4, 5, 6. And let me just run by them quickly to get to, since it isn't our common diet. these thoughts. Remember now, verse 4, one generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. So here we are. The people are born on planet Earth. People are dying on planet Earth. One generation goes, and all of these are participles. It means they just keep going and going, 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 going. The verbs are going. The people are being dying, and people are being born. And in verse 4, but the earth abideth forever. The earth just keeps on remaining. So each person comes along and takes the place of another person. And then that person dies, another person comes along and takes their place. And more often than not, they make the same mistakes the other guy did. They do the same thing, you know. Isn't that what parents do? Parents try to say, I want to help you, so you don't do the same. And we know it from our own experience, maybe not yours, but most of us probably, is that we know how not to do a lot of things. I know how not to do. I found out how not to do a lot of things. So if you want to tell me, don't do that. That won't work. I learned how not to do, see? So at least we can tell them that. But no one wants to learn. They're going to go and repeat it all over again themselves, no matter what it is. Now, having said that, verse 5, so we go from the people, humans, to verse 5, the sun riseth, and the sun goeth down, and hasteneth to his place where he arose. And so here's the sun rising and the sun setting. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west and hastens. That means it runs like in a great race. It races across the sky, moves through the sky. And in the process, I've timed it, watched a shadow. In 5 minutes, I've watched it. I timed the watch. How long will it take that sun to move? 5 minutes, move. So just moving right along. Wow. And here's the sun rising, the sun setting. It runs, it hastens like a runner, tired and weary. It runs to the other side and then sets, and darkness follows it. And it's a constant movement, constant goes and goes and goes. And the earth turns around and around and around. The sun rises and the sun sets. And man, humans are just going and working away and repeating everything over and over again. Verse 6. The wind goeth towards the south and turneth about unto the north, as it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again to his circuits, the courses of its travel. And the word around and around, the verb is used four times, around and around and around and around and around. It just keeps winding around. That's what the earth does. The wind just keeps going around and around. Circular movement goes in circles. Just wind comes, the wind goes, the wind comes, the wind goes. That's what it does. And it just keeps going around and around and around. Now, in the light of that, and that's what humans do. Humans are like on a merry-go-round. They go around and around and around. And new people get on the merry-go-round, other people get off, and they go around and around and around. The earth just keeps, never have to pay, just keeps turning, you know, over 1,000 miles an hour, around we go. Now, in the light of that, if I can, in verse 7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers came, whither shall they return again? In other words, the water just flows. It rises, the rivers, etc., empty into the sea, the oceans, and the water rises up in vapor, you know, going up, vapor, condensation, all that stuff, and goes up in the air, and the clouds get very full, and then they go drop the water out of that they picked up in the air, they go drop it down, and it repeats itself over and over. The river just keeps flowing. The ocean never gets filled up. It just keeps circling and circling and circling around and around and around and around. It never goes anywhere. So here we are on planet Earth. And apart from God, what are we doing? We're just going with new people, riding the merry-go-round, around and around and around. Verse 8, all things are full of labor, weariness, everything is wearisome. And thus, and man cannot utter it. It's too much to speak of, intensive to speak of something. It's more than too great for words. There's no way that we can ever say enough to get a handle on it. We have a handle and understanding partially of everything, seemingly. And yet we have a total handle of nothing. And the heart, whatever it is, we study the body and we study food, we study everything. You keep getting reports. 1 minute it's good, the next minute it's bad. And if you lived with Abraham, you never knew whether it was good or bad, you just ate it. That's what you did. Just ate it. Lived. Now he got over and over and over. All of these things are going on, and there's no end. There's no end. When are we going to come to the end? Well, because there is no way to say, I have arrived. We have satisfied. Are dinosaurs land animals, or are they water animals? Well, which are they now? Say, first we put them down in the air, whatever. We had them in water. Then we said, nope, the land, and we move them out to land, and then we move them into water, and then we move them into air to be birds. Kidding, I hope. So in the process, verse 8, all things are full of labor, wearisome. You cannot utter them. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. The eye never sees enough. Never sees enough to be satisfied. It never arrives. And, verse 8, and the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We hear. When did you hear enough? When did you hear enough to truly, truly say, I am satisfied. I've got it. I got the reason. I understand. When is it ever done? When is it ever complete? And that's what we're doing with all of the universe. Like never in history with our science, our exponential curve of everything going more and more, faster and faster, better and better. Wow! And what do we got? Well, we discover galaxies we never dreamed of. We discover germs we never knew of. We discover all kinds of things. And the more we discover, the more we need to discover. And the more we need to discover, the more we must discover. And we never end. When? What are we doing? God made it. God said, you'll never exhaust. You'll never come to the end. I've got the dimensions of the beginning and end. You can't do it. You'll never get there on anything. You'll never get there. You'll never arrive. So, verse 9. The thing that hath been, it is that it shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. There is nothing new. In other words, looking back in the past, everything has been. Looking into the future, everything that's in the future has already been. Everything is there. There's nothing new. Nothing is known, not known before. In other words, there's nothing that hasn't been known. The power to promote produce a satisfied heart, nothing is there to make it happen. It just isn't going to make it happen. Verse 9. Again, verse 10. Remember, and everything is going around and around and around. And excuse me, verse 9, let me finish that. Everything that has been is what it already was. And the past is just repeated. What has been done is that which will be done. So mankind's actions just keep repeating, and there is nothing new. You're already going to do something that you already knew and already did in one way or another. And the sun is the witness. Under the sun, verse 9, the sun is bearing witness to this. Verse 10. Verse 10 is going to answer verse 9. Verse 9 says there's nothing new. Nothing new? So God anticipates nothing new and answers it. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? Is there anything, and God anticipating and answers the objection, is there anything new? New. It has been already of old time, which was before. looking at things with reference to their power, to give pleasure, to give satisfaction to the human heart, to why am I here, who am I, why am I here, where am I going, what is the object of going through time on planet Earth, what is the purpose of it? You won't find any answer to that apart from God. You won't find the answer to it. You can have all kinds of modern inventions so that we can say and do things in the same way. True? No, right? You can have a new something. You could have a new shower, right? Make believe. You're going to shower your old body in the same old way with a new shower, right? It's a new shower. You got a new car? New car. You're going to move in a new car. The old is going to get in the new car and drive, right? All you're going to do is take a new suit, new shoes, new boat. All you're going to do is you are the same. All you're going to do is move yourself in a new job, move into the new job. That's all you're going to do. Old you, everything's the same. All you're going to do is change. That's all. Everything's, and if you know, if you took time to think about it, all the things that we have in life are from nature. Flying, birds, etc. Bats, flying, radar, sonar. Wow. We got it. We took it all. We took it all from the world that already exists. And man has learned from the world they live in and applied it into their own world. It didn't change them at all. Didn't change them at all. The end of verse 10 has been already of old time, which was before. It already exists. There is nothing new. Everything is the same old, ordinary way. The workload is there. We have a washing machine. Remember, you used to have to scrub. You take the old, remember the scrub boards? Yeah, you do. Remember the scrub boards? You take the scrub board, you take your clothes in the bucket, and up and down the scrub board, you know, to wash the clothes. And we've advanced. And we have the washing machines and all that stuff. And we have them. But when we're all done, machinery, jet age, travel faster, further and farther. We can go from here to Europe in X minutes on the new doojiggy. And there we go. And right, we get on the plane, right? Same you get on the plane, right? You move through the clock faster, get off the clock, and you go sit and put food in your mouth. You hurried to get to the next place, to sit down, get something to eat, and talk and look and repeat the same thing. All you did is everything just accommodates, but it's the same you producing, doing, coming, and going. All is wearisome. It doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't produce anything. So if I can, in the light of that, first and fast, you know, the further, faster, whatever it is, it just isn't to save time, to save money, to do whatever it is, but it's the same old self working out, trying to get there. And you ate lunch here, going back, and then you go to Europe and eat lunch, and then you have to eat lunch again. No, there's no lunch that satisfies. There's no job that satisfies. If you're looking for a perfect job, there isn't a perfect job. There isn't any. Not on earth. It's all wearisome. So when we come now, it's all transitory, remember? And it always seems new to people because of ignorance. Because we don't study history, we don't study where things came from, we aren't putting pieces together, and so it seems things seem to be new. But they aren't new at all. They aren't new. Man does not confess to his ills, his blunders, his defeats. Under the sun, man does not really confess that we don't have. Who are we? We become religious. Religious is a cloak, an excuse to keep us from having to answer this terrible question, what is the meaning of your existence? And we don't want to have to answer that. What's the reason of going through sin, suffering, and sorrow? What's the reason for that? We don't want to answer that. We don't want to talk about it, think about it. Now, having said that, and we're, and here the humans up, one after another, next in line to take their place, and they're going to go through and discover and say, boy, we have what mom and dad never had. See? But everything's repeated. But it's new. It's new. And we think it's new because we don't know any better. And we proceed. Thus if I can. In verse 11, if I may. Picking up, there is no remembrance. There is no remembrance of former things. Neither shall there be any remembrance of things which are to come with those who shall come after. Everyone disappears, even the most famous disappear. Everything disappears in dust, and all you have is a picture. You have pictures to look at of 20 years ago. Pictures, right? And then the pictures get lost in the more pictures, in the piles of pictures, in the books of pictures. And no one's ever going to look at the pictures again till you die. And they're trying to know what to do with all your stuff. And they open the book. They say, what is this a picture of? Who is this, you see? And whether they save him or not, who knows? We just go around and around. We try to, verse 11, there is no remembrance of the former things. We just keep repeating it over and over again. Thus, in verse 12, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. So we know, King Solomon said, listen, I was king. He's the only king that was over Israel apart from David, because after Solomon, the kingdom was divided. So he's the only king. And so we know that anyway. And in verse 13, I'm the king, and I'm going to tell you where I was. I'm not there now, but I want you to know I'm going to make, God is going to, has used me to make a royal experiment as a researcher. A subsolar existence under the sun. We're going to look at it all. And people fall, people fail on their strongest points. And so Solomon, are you one of them? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to fail on wisdom. That's where I'm going to flunk out. My strongest point is wisdom. And thus, going back, if you want to think, Abraham's strongest point was his faith, isn't it? Believe like Abraham did. Uh-huh. And where did Abraham fail? Well, he failed in unbelief. He didn't believe. Strongest point, he failed. Mm. And there's Moses. Moses was the meekest, humblest man God said he was. There was no one like Moses in submitting to God. Do you know where he fell? He lost his temper, didn't he? He lost his temper. The meekest man lost his temper. That's where he fell. Wow. And then there's Elijah, the man of great, great courage. And he lost his heart. He lost his courage with Jezebel. And here is Solomon, as we're looking at, wise. And he pursued the things of earth and time, and he did it with great gusto. And apart from God, there was no satisfaction, there was no real happiness. And thus he says, verse 13 and following, I'm going to go and use education to try to explain. I'm going to use education to try to explain this phenomenon, this meaningless existence. So we begin in verse 13. I gave my heart to seek. I gave my heart, my whole heart, I gave it, not to God, I just gave it to something else. I gave my whole heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I gave my heart to seek. So the first method is the verb to seek, to investigate the roots of a matter, to inquire, ask questions, with a view toward obtaining a satisfactory answer. The second method, verse, is the word search, to explore, to investigate a subject on every side possible, to investigate it. So Solomon says, listen, I began in my educational exercise here to seek, method one, search, method two, by wisdom. I have it. I have wisdom like none other. concerning everything and anything that is done under heaven. This sword travail. I'm going to do this by wisdom. This sword travail, this bad business, if you would, this unhappy business, this ill business, this sword travail is given. This sword travail God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. God has allowed us on planet Earth to have... Now, does the average chickadee think about things? Do they have to go to school? Do they have to do anything? Does the average giraffe have to do that? No, no. The average mouse doesn't do that. They just live. They just live. And they either have what they have, can find what they can find, eat what they can eat. True? That's what they do. And they do that. And that's what they do. But humans can't just do that because we aren't by instinct, we're by intellect. We think. We reason. We worship. Remember now, the last time you saw a bunch of ants gathered for worship was when? When did you see a bunch of ants all lined up Sunday morning out there in a circle? You didn't see them because they don't do that. Humans do it. Humans have a terrible problem. Here they are living, and we shared in the beginning, remember, Hebrew understanding starts with God. In the beginning, God. So whatever you're doing on planet Earth, you open your eyes, and God, here is the world, here I am, and here is the world, and you start. The origin is God, the originator, the source. The Gentile world doesn't have God. So they open their eyes and look at the world around them, and they're trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out, who am I? Why am I here and not there? Why has this happened? What can we do about this? And they're answering, but they have no answer apart from God. God is the originator. Thus, this sword travail, this unhappy business God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised. God, it is God's design, God's rhyme and reason to cause the humanity to profit, to learn, to pay attention, to become rightly satisfied. Not satisfied with yourself, not satisfied with the things you have, not satisfied with position, power, pride, trying to be satisfied. No, not that way at all. You'll never be satisfied that way. Never, never, never. You need to focus on reality. Focus on God. Why is the world like it is? You're on planet Earth at the moment. Someone else is going to take your place tomorrow. Now, why are you here? God has a rhyme and a reason for it all. And so the sons of men are busy, occupied. Notice here in the end of verse 13, the word exercised, to be occupied, the Septuagint translated to be humbled, all kinds of things to humble, to cause us to be drawn in different ways, different directions, distracted. Man is exercised with all of these things. There's no end to them, no end. The mind goes over here and the mind goes over there. And one thought you're thinking of this, and the next minute you're thinking of that, and the next minute you're thinking of something else. But you never think anything through. You just keep thinking. And your mind is divided. And if it's a phone call, a news item, something, and we're over here, we're over there. When are we going to come up with an answer? When are we going to put it together? Well, God has made it this way so that we are to be exercised therewith. Verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, there is vanity and vexation of spirit. I have seen everything that is done, his survey. And he had the great opportunity to survey everything. And you know when we started, Solomon not only had wealth and knowledge, but people from all over the world shipped in everything. There was, what do you give to somebody who has everything? And everything came to Solomon. So the giraffes and the lions and the peacocks, and they all came from all over. Solomon had everything. He had one great zoo. You wanted to go to the zoo? I would want to go to Solomon's zoo. Wow. So here we are, verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, they are vanity, and vexation. Vanity is a breath. They're just a breath, transitory. They're nothing. And vexation of spirit, is the feeding upon the wind, striving after the wind, chasing the wind. Chasing the wind is very unsatisfying. Chasing the wind. Go with me, please, over to Hosea. Hosea, if you would, just to illustrate that. Hosea chapter 12. Chasing the wind, vexation, to chase the wind. You remember there was a song somewhere, I can't tell you where it was, I remember the part of it that stuck in my mind when it passed me. Ghost riders chasing the devil's herd in the sky. We're ghost riders chasing a cowboy. It must have been a cowboy that did that. When I die, I'm going to be chasing the devil's cows in forever, and I'm never going to catch them. I'm never going to catch them. Now, here in Hosea chapter 12, verse 1. Ephraim feedeth on wind and follow after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians. And oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord also hath a controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. Ephraim is feeding in the wind, chasing the wind, vexation of spirit, chasing the wind. Isaiah 44. Picking up the thought, if I may. In Isaiah 44, may I go to verse 9. They that make a graven image, idols, are all of them vanity. And the delectable things shall not profit, the very niceties of all life shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses, they see not nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god or a molten graven image that is profitable for nothing? For no value whatsoever. You cannot replace God. You cannot replace God with your religious thinking, religious feeling, religious activity. You cannot replace the person of God. Skipping, if I may, over to verse 20. The people that feed on these idols, he feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie of vanity? Am I in my right hand? Am I not holding in my hand that which is a falsehood? I'm trusting that which I have in my head and heart and hand, and it won't do. It's vexation of spirit, chasing the wind. That's all. You're chasing the wind. You're feeding on nothing. You're going nowhere. That's hard, isn't it? My work, my home, my life, my marriage. Right? Where's it going? Where are you all? Not you. Where is everyone going? To the grave. Where's everyone? Everything is coming to a what? For you. Is everything? I want to encourage your heart. Everything for you is coming to a what? An end. Isn't it? Everything about your life is coming to an end on planet Earth. You don't have to worry about bills. You don't have to worry about pleasure. You don't have to worry about anybody. It's coming to an end. So, what are you trying to say? God, listen, don't have all his vanity, said King Solomon, and vexation of wind, chasing the wind. You aren't going anywhere. If you don't put God in this, then who are you? Made in the image and likeness of God. Why are you here? And thus, if I can, back over to Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, picking up, I gave my heart, verse 13. chapter 2, you don't have to read that, chapter 2, verse 1, I said in my heart, it's all about giving himself in a most wonderful way. Verse 15, everything is chasing the wind. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting, lacking, missing, cannot be numbered. How can you go and make something that's crooked straight? You can't. It's crooked. Crooked. And it can't become straight. It's crooked. You can do what you can, but you can't make that which is crooked straight, perverse. How do you fix something that's wrong? Personally, a person, how do you fix your own heart? How do you fix your own heart? Positive thinking? How do you fix your heart? Well, I don't know how to fix my heart. How do you fix it, twist it straight? How do you do it? You can't do it. God has to do it. God has to do it. You can't make your heart straight. The heart is deceitful and desperate. You can't do it. You can't do it. And if something isn't there for you to handle, how are you going to use it to be satisfied when you can't find it? It isn't there to be numbered. It's lacking. It's missing. If we just had this peace. But there is no peace for you to get to make the puzzle come out. The peace is missing. Again, in verse 15, the end. And that which is wanting, missing, lacking, deficient, you cannot use something that you can't get your hands on. You can't do it. You're stuck. Humans are stuck. Now, we don't want to think about any of this, and we want to make believe we're going to have lunch and da-da-da, and we're going to do that. We're going to repeat over and over. And the question, Ecclesiastes, are you paying attention to the reality of life and why you're here? If you're not, you're busy trying to make it work horizontally, and it only can work vertically.